Good afternoon, it's Angela Breyer Stevenson here with Who Cares Wins. It's a Monday afternoon, I trust you are sitting comfortably. You have some lunch, you are nourishing your bodies, and you are now about to nourish your mind. You may recall we are not in the studio this week because me, yes, I'm travelling, I'm on my Indian retreat, and dear old Jan, bless her, is working hard, and we couldn't get in the studio. So today we have edited through together some of the interviews we took from the main speakers at the Wellbeing Symposium, which you may recall we banged on about last year, and we attended the event courtesy of Wellbeing People, thank you, and Pillory Barn. And what we've done today is pulled together some of the interviews from the main speakers, such as the wonderful Steve Brown, who is our captain of the GP wheelchair rugby team. We also have Sophia Cannon, who is social justice commentator and family barrister. Also Eleanor Mills, the editorial director from the Sunday Times. We also have an interview with Brett Hills. You may recall I interviewed Brett. He was the lead sponsor from the Health Insurance Group. So Brett, the commercial director from the Health Insurance Group, took a little bit of time to chat with me about the Wellbeing Symposium and obviously why they sponsor it, and what they feel about the show, the fantastic event. And of course, we couldn't have today's show without hearing from Ben McGannon all about Wellbeing People, why they put this show together with Pillory Barn and all the help and support they get. And of course, all the exhibitors, all the other sponsors and supporters of the event, which is now in its third, and this year will be on the 11th of November, will be the fourth event, which we're looking forward to going to. So interspersed with some music as always, but sit back and enjoy listening again, first of all, to Steve Brown, who talked about his journey to becoming a captain of the GB National Wheelchair Rugby Team. He shared with us his wonderful story about his time in hospital, how he came to use his body in a completely different way after his accident, which found himself then paralysed. And, of course, the biggest message he gave to all of us in the audience was, well, actually two things. One was not to judge ourselves based on our weaknesses. And also the biggest thing is not to compare ourselves to other people, which I think we're all a little bit guilty of. Anyway, enjoy. Here's Steve Brown's interview. I caught him in the corridor after his talk. So I'm here with the wonderful, awesome Steve Brown. Steve, just to let our listeners know that you are fairly famous for a reason.
Yeah, so I play wheelchair rugby and I was captain at London 2012 at the Paralympics.
Yeah. And even though you haven't got your medal here today to show us, it's coming, we know, in, Rio we're going to, aren't we?
Rio's next.
But as I say, your great talk that you just gave us about motivation, get you going. The goals was the key thing for you. And I think for our listeners, for health and well-being aspects and what inspires people to do things, you actually had a phrase up there which I wrote down, something about the goal orientation and actually doing something, and then once you achieve that, then you look at something else. I couldn't remember, there was a phrase you used as well about sort of living life or how you look at life.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I very much am goal orientated, and I want to improve, whether that's in my capability of reading or whether that's in sport or fitness or strength. But the way that I really do it is I don't look around and compare myself to other people. I'm very much about being better for my own good. I don't want to be better than France in terms of I train to be France.
Yeah.
I train to be a better version of me, and in turn I will beat France. And so it's all very much I base my training and my lifestyle about improving myself, and in turn it means that you can beat others by doing that.
Absolutely. And one thing dear to my heart, and more personal, is how the people around you, you mentioned them up on stage there, that actually, you know, without their support as well. But it was also difficult for you to perhaps accept that initially.
Yeah, I'd been a very independent person before my injury. I was living in the south of France and Spain and...
living the life, I heard.
Yeah, I was. It was fantastic. Yeah. As an area manager, and I had lots of people working for me, and I was achieving far more than maybe people thought I was capable of.
Yeah.
And I was good. I was in a good place. I was happy. And then when I was injured, being in a situation where I had gone to need a lot of help and a lot of support was quite hard. But I know now, looking back in hindsight, everything that I've done in life I've had help with.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I wouldn't have got my GCSEs without people's help, let alone being area manager in the south of France, and certainly wouldn't have been captain at London 2012 if it wasn't for my teammates. You know, let's go full circle and be captain of the team of people that inspired you to do your best in the first place was something I never imagined I'd be doing. I never dreamed of it.
Yeah, and I think that's something that for our listeners to remember, that not comparing themselves to others, so in whatever they're doing around health and well-being, and also to actually perhaps just be sort of accepting where they are at this point, rather than sort of always saying, oh, well, yeah, I'm not there yet, and then berating themselves. And I think that's something, if we can take from you, that just is evidence, the real life, it can happen to absolutely anybody. And it's fantastic to then hear those stories afterwards.
My advice to anyone would be, don't judge yourself on who you are. I'm very proud of my strengths, but I'm also very conscious of my weaknesses. And it's the weaknesses that I work just as hard on as anything else. And that's not just about how good am I at reading or writing or how strong am I. My weaknesses sometimes show in lack of preparation or not being motivated or getting up late. And those little things can make a huge difference. Being motivated or getting yourself up, changing your diet, it's all those little things that will lead you to be a better person. Little improvements everywhere will make you a much better person overall.
Brilliant. Well, from Who Cares Wins listeners, and myself and Jan included, we wish you every success with your training, and we'll be watching the telly.
Thank you.
For Rio. Well done. Thank you. I hope you enjoyed that. Next up, we have another of the wonderful speakers from the Wellbeing Symposium, was Sophia Cannon. She's the social, if I can speak today, the social justice commentator and family barrister. And she delighted us with a talk about how the link between school and work, and she was doing wonderful links between how, for example, how we eat at school. It's very much a community event. We sit with our subordinates, our peers, our superiors, and yet when we start work, we tend to eat alone, if we eat at all. So I caught up with Sophia afterwards just to learn a little bit more about her passion in life, and to remind us all, she talked about the 8 D's of doom with regards to life, and again how employers could engage more in conversations with employees. So here's Sophia. I've just nabbed another one of our wonderful speakers today, Sophia Cannon.
Indeed.
And Sophia, our listeners may be already aware of you from your other avenues, because you've already been on television and radio.
I do a lot of television, a lot of radio, across ITV, Sky. The BBC is probably what I'm very well known for.
Yes, and obviously it's family barrister, and also there's something else I'm interested
in. I do social justice commentary.
That's right.
So I do a lot of political commentary as well, on behalf of women, socially, shall we say, the socially quiet, people that don't feel sometimes that they are at risk or see themselves as different.
Yes.
For example, big strong men, they've got the highest suicide rate amongst us. Why is that? So I champion odd causes, but people who feel that they are really in need, but they are.
Fabulous. And your talk today, I just wanted to give a little snippet to our listener, if I may, that you mentioned this lovely link with the school analogy. And well-being.
Yes.
If you could just give a couple of tips there for our listeners,
well,
of what you mentioned.
When you go to school, your first day in school, the front and centre of that institution's consideration is your well-being. You can't work, and it's from the environment, it's from the processes and the people that work there. For example, the environment. You never eat at your desk at school. There's always a canteen. There's always somewhere you sit and you meet.
I remember having. I used to be leading one of those tables.
Yes, I bet you were in year six. By the time, yes, and you
used to look after your little, you know, newbies.
Yes, and that's the whole idea, that you work your way up through the school, and then when you're in year six, you get, like you said, you lead your own table. But when you're first in, you learn how to eat, you learn how to socialise. But when we go to work, we tend to eat on our own. We pop to the local supermarket.
Indeed. Yes.
And using that analogy, the best things about school, for example, the nativity play is coming up now. It's the whole idea that the whole school gets behind the play in the year.
Yes.
And it's always the first bit of the school experience. Perhaps just because Christmas falls there, but it allows you to get to know the rest of the class very quickly.
Yes.
And in contrast with sports day at the end of the year, when you're all competing and you're all trying your best, and it's that whole idea that work could be more like school, and we could be so much better if we could.
It could. It's just fabulous. If you have that concept, it would be great. And maybe we could start championing it with our listeners within here. Maybe some of the organisations could tune in and let us know what they're up to.
Yes, I think my other analogy was the house system. Yes. And we always laugh at that, don't we? The sorting hat in Harry Potter.
In Harry Potter.
And we always think, my God, please don't let us be in Hufflepuff.
Yeah.
Or Slytherin.
Well done for remembering those names.
Yes. Again, I'm a mother now. I'm reading them all over again. But it's the idea that the house system in itself is an inbuilt pastoral care system.
Yes.
And it's pastoral care throughout the years. So the more senior you are, the more you move on and help the new entrants into that company.
Yeah.
And equally, the board members or the teachers, they're also involved and roped in their little team. And not just withstanding that, it's work can be quite an isolating environment if your workplace is quite large. Apparently, even over something ridiculous like 50 people. If you don't know the people in accounts, if you're in HR, or
yes,
the people in development or technology, I mean, who knows their IT guy? He just shows up, fixes their computer.
And then disappears, yes.
But what happens if you were all in houses or groups where you have to socialise, have a common endeavour?
Yes.
Can you imagine what workplace would be like?
It would be fabulous.
Yes.
I was interested in your 8 Ds of doom.
Yes, the 8 Ds, and I could
did you jump to 8 in one go, or have they built over
They've
time?
Built over the time. Now, I hope I've got them all in a note, but my goodness, there's debt, there's death, there's disability,
disease, denial,
divorce. Oh goodness!
So I was ticking off some of them. So yes, had those.
But it's the whole idea that you come each time in your life, you're going to face these because that's living.
Yes.
And it's the anticipation of those and not letting them happen to you, but anticipating, for example, what would happen if my parents passed away? Does anybody have a plan?
Yeah.
We don't have those plans for divorce. Actually, if I have to move workplace, how would I do that? How would I do this? How would I do that? It's anticipating those challenges to your well-being before they happen.
Definitely. And the other thing I just wanted to perhaps just finish with, the analogy you mentioned with generally life and our fast-paced life and our always-on culture that also Eleanor was alluding to. And one thing that you do as a family that you shared with us on your Wednesdays,
Wireless Wednesdays.
Wireless Wednesdays.
Yes.
And just for our listeners, if you explain what you do.
My husband, no, I don't do it.
Oh,
I'm not allowed.
Oh, right.
He comes in on Tuesday night after work and turns off the wireless. So for a full, actually it's a bit longer than 24 hours, we aren't allowed television, radio, the internet, and that's it. And sometimes he actually plugs the phone out as well. So we as a family are completely switched off. And
go offline?
Go offline. And it's the best. It's even better than the weekend sometimes.
Yes.
Because we get to know each other. It's right in the middle of a week.
Yes.
It gives us almost a second weekend.
Brilliant.
It's the best thing that's ever happened to us.
Absolutely. Well, if our listeners, especially as our listeners, we're on a Monday, so that's good. They won't have logged off. You're going to switch us off on Monday. Thank you very much. It really was a pleasure to catch some time with you.
Thank
appreciate
you.
It.
Thank you.
Wow, what a fantastic lady. That was Sophia Cannon when we caught up with her last year at the Wellbeing Symposium. So now time for a bit of music, I think. And talking to the lovely Sarah at Pillory Barn, a request from her, and I know that we've played it a few times, but it does go with the whole theme of the Wellbeing Symposium and our radio show, Wellbeing. It is, of course, you've guessed it, Pharrell Williams and Happy.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. Hot air balloon that I could go to space. With the air like I don't care, baby, by the way.
Welcome back to Who Cares Wins Radio Show. It's on channelradio.co.uk and we're not in the studio this afternoon, but you are being delighted with the interviews we took with some of the major speakers at the Wellbeing Conference last year. Next up is Eleanor Mills, the editorial director of the Sunday Times. And Eleanor followed on from Sophia on the stage at the Wellbeing Symposium, talking about women, work and well-being. And one of the interesting topics that she opened up with was regarding the Belgian health minister, and about how if you've got to be taken seriously, you have to look the part. And she mentioned about having to look the part, meaning that we need to look mean and be fit for purpose. She talked a lot about women at work and women returning to work, especially after having maternity leave, for example, and looking at tips, top tips for women to return to work. And one of the big key passions she had was for women not to let go of their skill set whilst on maternity leave, and to keep something there so that they can return in some guise to a professional work life if they choose. So here's Eleanor.
So I'm here now. I'm just catching Eleanor before she jumps ship and heads off to Pastors New. Eleanor, a fantastic presentation. Just for our listeners, tell everyone, first of all, who you are. Just remind our listeners, in case they've not heard of you, or maybe not read your newspaper.
I'm Eleanor Mills. I'm editorial director of the Sunday Times, and I'm a columnist on the paper. I'm also chair of Women in Journalism. So I'm a passionate believer in women's well-being in the workplace, particularly around things like pregnancy and being working mothers and the kind of stress that women put on themselves.
Yeah, fantastic. And it was very entertaining, your talk that you gave within the Wellbeing Symposium there, because, again, this subject of women and wellbeing and women in the workplace can be sometimes a very fraught discussion.
Yeah.
Sometimes people won't necessarily want to raise it. So for our listeners, for this perspective of whether they're thinking about families or have families at the moment, what would be your biggest tip for them to consider regarding their own health and wellbeing? Being and also trying to get that balance?
Well, one of the slides that I used in my presentation was of the when the oxygen masks come down if you're on a plane. We all yes. know that from the safety talk. And one of the key things there is that you're, as a parent, you're encouraged to put your own oxygen mask on before you try and look after your child.
Absolutely.
And I think that that's a really important metaphor for women, because I think that too many of us put our own health, well-being, emotional stability right at the bottom of the list. And I talked about that quite a lot. I'm the mother of two young girls. And actually, you have to keep yourself on the road. You've got to put something back in, whether it's I have to do some exercise or my back completely seizes up, so I do Pilates twice a week. I have to kind of get to, I know I can't go out more than two or three times a week, or I'm so exhausted I can't function.
Yes.
If you're going to and my mum used to say to me, if you're going to function like a Ferrari, you need to eat like a Ferrari. So I try and eat properly, lots of fruit and vegetables and kind of, and but all that kind of stuff is actually really crucial for women, because we put our own, you can't run on empty.
No.
And if you and life is a marathon, not a sprint, so if you try and always kind of put yourself and your health at the bottom of the list, you end up sick and not able to look after or support any of your loved ones. And that's my really key message. And the other thing is around when you go back to work after being pregnant, and really standing up for the fact that you might need some kind of flexible time, but also saying to women at that point, don't give up. You know, you've often, we've lots of us go to university now, we set up careers. So I would say can be a real struggle when you're first starting out and you're a mum and you're trying to juggle work and home. Those first few years are tough. Hang in there.
Absolutely.
Even if you really scale back, keep a line into what you used to do before, you'll really be grateful when you're older that you did that. I've seen too many of my peers give up and lose everything that they'd worked so hard for, because it's so hard to get back in again.
Mm-hmm.
So however tenuous, however much you cut back, keep that link so you can get back in if
Definitely.
You need to.
Because life is so fast.
Yeah, life is so fast. And
it
also
is.
All of us women need to be able to support ourselves and our children.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a real kind of fact of life. My mum always used to say to me, always get your own qualification, earn your own money, have your own bank account, and then you're never at the mercy of somebody else.
Absolutely.
And if you could talk to the 6-year-old you, is there anything looking back you'd do differently?
Six-year-old Eleanor. I was saying this to my daughter last night. I would just say, believe in yourself. You know, hang in there. Don't try and be like everybody else. You know, keep buggering on. KVO, Kate Church used to say. But also really believe that you will kind of, you'll win out in the end. If you're a nice person, you're kind, and you do things for other people, and you stick to your passions, really believe that. You do something that you love and that you're good at.
Brilliant.
It'll come good in the end.
Thank you.
And marry someone who will support you in what you do. Not necessarily who everybody else thinks you should marry, but the person who's actually your fit.
For the partnership, friendship.
Yeah, absolutely.
That support network.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time, Eleanor. Really, really appreciate it.
Welcome back to Who Cares Wins. And we have a series of interviews from the Wellbeing Symposium from the key speakers at the event last November. We thought we'd pull them all together in one show for you today. So next up we have Simon Thorpe. You may remember I did talk quite highly about Simon Thorpe because he was talking about how to be happy at the Wellbeing Symposium. And he's the co-founder of the Expressions Partnership and runs a variety of workshops and management development workshops and coaching. And obviously he talked about what makes us happy, and he talked about how happy we can be both at work and at home, and talked a lot about various research and various stats that are out there. One of the stats that alarmed me was 9.9 million workers in the UK are dissatisfied in their jobs, which equates to a third of the working population in the UK. Bit scary. But have a little listen to my chat with Simon afterwards and his outlook on being happy. So I am still roaming around the Wellbeing Symposium here, and I'm not exhausted because I'm high on the energy of everybody that I'm meeting, and I finally maybe tracked you down. I've hunted you down, Simon.
Thank you.
Simon Thorpe of Expressions Partnership. Now, first of all, Simon, fantastic speak. Thank you very much for
Thank
up
you.
There talking about happiness, being happy. First of all, though, if we could just let our listeners know, Expressions Partnership, what's your delivery? What are you doing there with organisations?
Yeah, Expressions is our 10th birthday this year. We're 10 years old.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. And originally it was set up because I've been on many of these one-hit wonders. You go to a management training day, you go, wow, that was fantastic. The next day you've forgotten half of
yes.
it. Was it worth my time, effort and money? So I started Expressions 10 years ago to try and help people just learn and improve performance. So if I give you our strap line, it is helping individuals, teams and organisations improve performance.
Brilliant.
Through coaching, development and training.
Great. So happiness after my own heart.
Well, there we go. We're on
we
the same
need
page.
To talk about
we do.
Separate issues.
Indeed.
But your talk today, you were focusing on this happiness. Mm. You gave us some lovely stats as well.
Sure.
Remind our listeners, because they won't have been privy to the speeches.
Yeah, sure.
There was a 10% stat mm-hmm. about happiness accredited to 10%, and a 40%.
Yeah.
Just let them. They were fascinating.
This is work from a fantastic researcher called Sonia Lyubomorsky. Please don't ask to spell that.
Oh, okay.
I have no idea,
right.
But a fantastic lady. And it's been redone time and time again, and no one can disprove it. So I'm taking it as gospel.
Right.
Allegedly, according to this research, 10% of how happy we are is contributed by our circumstances. So our gender, our age, our colour, our background, our school, adverse things have happened to us. Only 10%. Now, 10% is quite a lot, quite
yes.
an amount,
yeah.
but only 10%.
Yeah.
And so many people say, I would be happier, but this happened to me, or I was bullied at school, or I came from a dodgy background, or lived in a very strange area.
Yes.
Well, okay, that's all right, but only 10%.
Mm.
The 40% is minimum of 40% of how happy we are comes down to the volitional activity or choices that we make.
Choices.
Now, you and I both were privy to a fantastic life story
yes.
by Steve Brown.
Who I did talk to, so I listened
oh, brilliant.
To hear him.
Well, he said in the same words, I'm not happy it happened, but I'm happy where I am now because it's all good. I've succeeded far beyond what I thought I could have done by having this, shall we say, adverse situation.
Yes.
A volitional activity. I'm happy. I'm achieving. I'm good. Bad things happen to good people.
Yes.
What are you going to do? Stay down or get back up again? And, you know, forgive me to your listeners. I appreciate that's quite a sweeping statement to make without any more in-depth understanding. But, you know, bad things do happen. It's what you do with that information. It's what you do in the circumstance. And so many people have risen from the depths of adversity and create great things. You know what? It's your choice.
Absolutely. And sometimes I feel there's more of an impact that's somehow arisen within us, those that have maybe dealt with those illnesses. I know when I've coached individuals who've hit that heart attack or the cancer scare or maybe even been through cancer and come out the other side, that they've hit that wall that says, hey, wake up, and that's fantastic. So yeah, I actually am very passionate about looking at that aspect of, okay, that's what's happened, and very much with my mindfulness hat on, saying, well, what's here now? What's the next step?
There's a great Buddhist mantra, you may have heard it. It says, when you lose, don't lose the lesson.
Yeah.
It's so important, isn't it? And we mentioned this at our management program, our leadership program, which is not really well-being, but we say, guys, you're going to mess up. That's life.
Yeah.
What do you lose? You only fail if you don't learn from it.
Yes.
Learn from it. Okay, I messed up. Guess what?
No.
I won't do that again, but I'll do this instead.
I know.
It's great. lessons. It really is.
And I know that this is your third year being at the symposium.
On the main stage today. I'm very impressed. Promoted. What can I say?
Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
So you obviously are a big supporter of the Wellbeing Symposium, and it's something that really is dear to your heart. How have you found it this time, this year?
Very interesting. A bigger. Mm. You know, so it's a good thing because it's gaining momentum. People are really understanding it, and it's great that more people are talking about different things. I mentioned a controversial point on the stage, and I want to mention this because it's really important. I think we've got to stop calling it things like mental health.
Yes.
We've got to repackage it.
There was a bit of a silence around
there. Was, and then suddenly I saw a lot of heads going, actually, that's not a bad idea.
Yes.
But people will still think of it as a stigma. You've heard that today a few times. Well-being is a massive subject. Mental health is a massive subject. Yeah. Let's be very clear about what we're trying to do here. If someone just, I'll tell you a very quick story actually, a colleague of mine here today, she had a rough day at work, and her son, who is, he was 9 at the time, said, "Mummy, you look very sad, are you depressed?" And this lady said, "I'm mildly perturbed about my day, but I'm not depressed, darling, but thank you for asking and caring." Because these words are now on children's minds.
Yes.
And you start talking about mental health, and they're probably growing up thinking, am I mental? Do I need some help?
Yeah.
It's all fascinating stuff. It's all very, very important. And
you had on that chart the whole tipping point that we need to maybe just changing the label
change the perception.
Create this energy and this more enthusiasm behind it as well.
And it's okay.
And it's not fluffy.
It's not fluffy. Oh, my gosh. They're going to get something different. A, it's not soft.
No.
And B, it's not fluffy.
No, definitely.
It's essential life skills. Once you get someone's thought process correct, someone's view of life correct, someone's confidence boosted, someone's resilience in check, they can do almost anything. But actually, let's not train them on sales skills or customer care skills. If they haven't got the confidence, go and talk to somebody.
No.
You're not going to win. You're wasting time, effort and money. Get the right things in place first.
Fantastic. We need to get you in on the show to talk more
depth
about your fantastic work.
It would be great to come do that.
Thank you for joining. Just a brief moment of your time with me.
You're more than welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Another great guy from the Wellbeing Symposium, Simon Thorpe there from Expressions Partnership. And again, yes, tune in on the 30th of March as we have him in the studio. So there'll be lots more giggles, I'm sure. Let's have a bit more music. And this track is quite a new track from Alanis Morissette. It's called Receive. And I was highlighted to it by a friend of mine because the lyrics are quite appropriate for a lot of us these days. She talks about giving service and looking after everybody else first, being selfless, and that actually now it's time for her to receive, time for her to take a break, time for her to regenerate, which I think is for a lot of us time to maybe think about booking some time in the diary and title it Me Time, as I call it. So enjoy Alanis Morissette and Receive.
I wake up and first things first, I'm at service. I meet your young needs are met and the selfless. I give heart and serve heart, and now I need a break. I give big, I give all, and now it's time to regenerate. I give heart, provide heart, and now give heart and part heart, and now I need to retreat. I give out, dedicate, and now I need to acknowledge me. Today's all about me, all about your feeling. Today's all about me, learning how to receive, how to receive.
Welcome back to Who Cares Wins. That was Alanis Morissette with Receive, a fantastic lyric, or quite a few lyrics in that song there. You're tuned in to Who Cares Wins with recordings from the Wellbeing Symposium, some of the major speakers from the show last year. And of course, without main speakers on the Wellbeing Symposium show, the exhibitors, and of course, it wouldn't really go ahead without the support from Pillory Barn and WellbeingPeople.com, but also the sponsors. And the lead sponsor was this year was, or last year's event, was the Health Insurance Group. And I caught up with Brett Hills, who was the, or is the commercial director of the Health Insurance Group. Had a little chat with him at their stand there. So I have finally got hold of one of the major sponsors of the Wellbeing Symposium this year, the Health Insurance Group, and I'm here with Brett
Hill.
Brett Hill.
Good afternoon.
And your role, you are the... what's your role in the Health Insurance Group? How you're classified as?
I'm a commercial director.
The commercial director.
The Health Insurance Group, previously the sales and marketing director.
Right.
We were here at the Wellbeing Symposium last year,
yes,
running one of the workshops.
Yes.
And you know, we see it as a growing event. It's something that Wellbeing
Definitely.
People are still trying to build and develop. We wanted to come back and be more involved this year, which is why we've been lead sponsor this year.
Lead sponsor this year, which is fantastic, and obviously still having your stand here and talking about. So the Health Insurance Group, UK and international healthcare specialists.
Yeah.
What do is it organisational directed?
We deal with all types of customer. We have a lot of individual customers, personal customers who just have health insurance for themselves and their families.
Yep.
But more and more, the side of our business that's growing is health insurance and health products for businesses.
Right.
Now, that could be small businesses with two or three employees,
yep,
all the way up to companies of several hundred staff,
right,
and everything in between.
Yeah.
But most of our clients are your typical UK business of, you know, 10 to 15 employees, something like that. And most of what we do is health insurance, but we also do a lot of things around employee assistance programs, occupational
Great.
Health,
yes,
income protection insurance, group life cover, that much broader range of services, including in more recent years, health screenings and wellbeing programs, and hence why we wanted to be more involved here this year.
Definitely. What would you say for people that are wanting to think about looking at health and wellbeing in their organisation, what would you say is probably the key, where should they start? What's the, you know, they're like some minefields or some.
It is. There's an awful lot of material out there. There's an awful lot of companies providing online websites, online information portals. And typically an employer will take on one of these online services and they'll bombard their staff with emails saying, come to this website. The employee will may or may not go to the website, and if they do, there's a huge amount of information that may or may not be relevant to them.
Yes.
What we would say, and the reason why we work with Wellbeing People and have done for a number of years, is the best first step is to get your staff to know their numbers. If you can get some kind of cost-effective health screening program into the workplace, it only takes 10 minutes for each member of staff to go along and find out their weight, their BMI, their blood pressure, their blood sugar level, their cholesterol level. Once they know those numbers, the impact on the business is huge. The first time we did it with our own staff, you could hear all afternoon members of staff going around each other's desks and comparing their blood sugar levels, comparing their BMI levels.
Yes, yep.
Exactly. People are naturally competitive.
Yeah, they are.
And once they know their own numbers, A, they know what information they want to find.
Yes.
So if they know their cholesterol's high, they want information about cholesterol. If they know their blood sugar's high, they want information about that. But also, once we know our numbers, as human beings, we want to improve them.
Mm.
So instead of the employer then being a nanny state, telling people what to do and why to do it, instead you have the employees actively wanting to find this information and do something with it. And that's what gets people engaged, and that's the best place to start.
That's right. I know from my background in online learning and the learning and development environment, in trying to get people to see online learning as a benefit to them, was the whole sort of get them to take the responsibility. So this independent learner is actually what we want them to be, rather than just using online learning. And same there, taking the responsibility for my health and well-being, yet the employer is giving them a support, they're giving them some encouragement and actually some opportunities, or signposting at least, which is great.
Because I think with the online piece is hugely important, but there is such a wealth of information out there that you have to give people a way into it. You have to give them a way of knowing where to start. Otherwise, it's so much that it's just overwhelming and people tune out.
Yeah. So how have you found the event so far? We've got all the afternoon sessions been going on. And
it's fantastic. It's bigger than last year. There's a lot of exhibitors here. We have some fantastic speakers this morning.
Great
some
speakers.
Really entertaining guys.
My mate
really
Steve Brown.
Yeah, he was incredible.
Yeah.
Actually, incredible story
about Manhattan Hotel.
The workshops are all pretty well attended this afternoon.
Great
lots
stuff.
Of questions. So, it's going really well, actually.
Yeah. Well, thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
Absolutely.
We will, perhaps we'll need to get you on the show and talk about more stuff in depth, perhaps.
I would love that.
Later on. That'd be great.
Thank you very much.
Channel Radio.
And finally, we have Ben McGannon from Wellbeing People. He talked to us at the end of the show. We caught up with him as people were packing up around us at the end of the day, a busy, busy day again, a busy event, the Wellbeing Symposium. And we had a chat with Ben as to how he'd found the day. So here's our final interview with Ben McGannon, the Managing Director of Wellbeing People.
Everyone's packing up around us. We are always the last to leave. before we leave, I needed to get hold of my marvellous man here, Ben. Ben McGannon, who obviously is the organiser behind all of this, the big idea of it, because obviously it is Wellbeing People that put this together, with the help of sponsors, obviously. I've spoken to Brett earlier. Ben, it's also the first time this year you allowed the general Joe public to come in our sort of afternoon, which we found was really beneficial. We've been chatting to lots of different people from different walks of life and different exposure. But how have you found it? Trying to get hold of you today has been really difficult. So I think that's a positive. But from you, how's it gone? The third one?
No, it's been fantastic. I mean, we've been really pleased.
Yeah.
I think year on year it is growing.
It is.
I would just say as well, because Pillar Ivan are really important part
absolutely.
Of the partnership. And, you know, when we conceived this, it was actually 4 years ago that we first
that's
had the
right.
idea to do this. And then the first one took a year in planning, and this is the first year, as you say, we've been opened up the afternoon as a free event to local businesses, local people. So I feel as though the footfall was bigger, that as
it
you
was.
Say you've had conversations with people that otherwise wouldn't have been up here. But also this morning for the symposium, you know,
Brilliant.
We had a really good turnout,
great
speakers. Steve Brown was just an inspiration. So
felt very honoured actually to be in his presence.
I think somebody said very humbling. It is very humbling.
And I
just felt the atmosphere, and we seem to always be lucky with the weather. Let's hope that holds for next year.
You have some power, Ben, somewhere.
I wish. I think the weather makes a big difference. And
one thing I wanted to pull up, because our listeners wouldn't have had privy to all the talks that went on, and obviously your talk, you had a couple of slides that you put up, and you had a link to Alice in Wonderland, which I thought was fantastic, and I wondered if you would share that with our listener. Your thinking on the Alice in Wonderland link that you had.
Well, we obviously, when you've only got 3 or 4 minutes and you know there's going to be lots of more proficient speakers following you, and so we just tried to have a think about, you know, engaging a little bit in a topic that had a piece of humour but some relevance as well. And the playing with the Mad Hatter concept as well, in terms of the inappropriateness of the language around mental health. And I think, again, it's been another theme throughout the day. People feel quite strongly, and Simon talking about happiness and his request, let's not talk about mental health.
Yeah.
So we were just really trying to open it
in a different way.
It's interesting, as we've gone through disabilities, that you used to say cripple, you can't say that now. And mental health is going the same way. There are certain words that people are comfortable with, and there are some words that we've accepted that now people are trying to move away from. And that's actually a good sign.
It is.
It means it's being talked about.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's open communication, which is my big passion about talking and getting people to talk about these things, that it's okay to talk about it. And also, about asking for help. Is courageous. Yeah. It's not a sign of weakness.
Again, that was Steve. Yeah, and I think the other concept of which I love is the quote of run as fast as you can just to stay still.
Yes.
But if you want to get somewhere, you've got to run twice as fast as that. And it does feel like that. I think the wellbeing agenda over the last 8 years has gone from being, again, where Simon was saying the sort of fluffy,
called himself the freaky weirdo,
didn't he?
I'm one of those weirdos.
So, but I think, you know, that's moved on massively. It's moved on in the workplace. I mean, I remember in the early days when we were juggling and hula hooping in the office, and there would be people saying, you know, don't be ridiculous, you're stopping people from working.
Yeah.
But, you know, now taking a walk, which again was we just didn't do it.
It's just frowned upon, wasn't it?
I'm just going for a 5 minute walk just to get a bit of fresh air, come back refreshed. And so all of those things that I think have moved on massively, and it feels as though in the last year that the whole acceptance of well-being as a serious agenda has moved on massively.
Well, my background and my passion lately now with mindfulness and being a mindfulness teacher, actually seeing the whole aspect of being much more present now, and actually that's a lot of this, it starts to link with being, you know, like Steve said, being I'm happy now where I am.
Yes.
Not thinking about what happened to me and what could have been or what it's about. I'm great now. I'm happy with what I'm doing and where I'm going next.
Yeah.
And I love that phrase he used about how you're going to bounce back, but also bounce forward.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
lovely phrases today.
The fact that if you've got a goal, by definition, you're looking forward. I love that analogy as well.
And the other thing you mentioned, Ben, is which I haven't managed to get on the bus today, but you've had the bus parked here. Tell our listeners about this bus.
Okay, well, the Health MOT Roadshow is really an exciting project, and we wanted to launch it here today because it's something, again, over the last 4 years, we've done several kind of mini pilots that are built up to this, but it's about us enabling people to engage with health and well-being.
Yeah.
So you're familiar with the NHS Health Check program?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's for 40 to 74 year olds who don't have a pre-existing condition, who haven't already had a check with their GP in the last 2 years.
Yes.
So the idea was to create an engagement with the kiosk that is the Health MOT on the bus, so that anybody that we were engaging with could engage with us, but through that to identify specifically those people who may be eligible for the NHS Health Check.
Right.
And to deliver it to them there and then. If they've got the time, if they've got half an hour, give it to them there and then. So we've been really working around the fact that the NHS Health Check program, one of the difficulties for them is, well, first you invite somebody, then if they do accept, they may make an appointment. If they make the appointment, they may turn up. So you have this kind of chain reaction of drop-off.
Yes.
And the idea of this, and we're showcasing it with Public Health England as well, so this is something where Kent's at the forefront of the national agenda to say, actually, if we go out into communities, particularly into hard-to-reach communities, who might not typically access normal mainstream services happily. So going out into those communities and saying, this is a Health MOT Roadshow, so everybody come along, have a go on the kiosk, and then from that being able to go, great, you're eligible for a health check, have it here and now. Or you'd like some lifestyle support, why don't we get you in touch with a health trainer now? And so that's the aim of the project. It's, we've got 250 days of delivery in the next 12 months.
Wow.
As a proof of concept that's being showcased at the National Health Checks Conference for Public Health England in February.
Yes.
And really day by day. I mean, I think today that you've been there, the buses have been pretty busy all day long.
I tried.
They're all booked up.
Busy all day long. So we've got a couple of workplace events with it in the next couple of days, and then we're off to the mall next week in Maidstone. So the project at the moment is a proof of concept that's being trialled initially in Maidstone.
Right.
The reason for that, and again, another exciting reason, is that with Golding Homes and Golding Vision, we have a really strong partnership. It's called our core partnership in Maidstone. So we're already working in partnership with the Borough Council through the Golding Core Partnership, with Voluntary Action Maidstone, with Fusion, with the Switch Cafe, with the Vines Church, all those kinds of organisations. So we've got a strong community that we can partner with on this.
Yeah.
And through Golding Supply Chain, Mighty, who provide Golding services as the repairs division, have also co-funded the project. So this is a project funded initially by KCC, with matched funding coming from Mighty and from Golding Homes and from Wellbeing People. So it's a real example of Kent again being at the forefront of sector integration, the private sector, the public sector, the third sector, to do something that brings resource to us that helps improve our public health output. So it's really exciting, for that reason alone.
Yeah. And one thing, if I'm hearing correctly, then we could perhaps through the radio show we could promote where those are going to be happening.
Absolutely, that would be fantastic.
Or whoever to find out when those dates are.
So part of this project has been the development of an online wellbeing listing, which if we can hook you up to that
you
can also, so initially again it will be for the Borough of Maidstone, and it means that all the partners that are running any sort of health and wellbeing event can post it onto the online wellbeing listing.
Brilliant.
And then it
automatically gets populated to everybody else, so that everybody knows, oh right,
something's
fantastic,
gone on.
Golding Homes have just announced an event in June, brilliant, well maybe I won't book my event that day, I'll go to theirs, that kind of thing.
So it's like this group diary, group calendar.
And if you go to the URL for their roadshow, that you can go straight through to a landing page that will take you to online wellbeing listings, so that we can make it public facing as well.
Right.
So we'll be handing those cards out.
So people, Joe Public, that listeners can go to that website.
Absolutely, yeah, and that will take them on to tell them at the moment where the roadshow will be, but as it populates on our, it will be all the other things that are going on in Maidstone around health and
wellness. That is, I'm just looking over there, it's
healthroadshow.co.uk.
healthmotroadshow.co.uk. I was thinking, what's health motor?
You're adding letters then.
I am indeed, yes. Yeah. That would be fantastic, because then, just literally encouraging our listeners with the events section to actually be able to shout about that would be fantastic.
And that's that thing as well, that because we're hoping people will go away and think, do you know, I'll mention it to my husband, I'll mention it to my father, I'll mention it to my friends, and it's going to be here for a year, so people can just feel familiar with it. And also, again, because the other part of the partnership is working with the Kent Community Health NHS Trust. So, you know, if it's a health MOT and you just want some information, then the Wellbeing People team will look after you. If you want to have your NHS health check, the NHS that are there to deliver it. So,
It's really getting it here and now, rather than, oh, well, we'll book you in the diary, and I'll get back to you. And then, as we know, that can be the danger with the speed of life these days.
Well, it's interesting, because one of the pre-pilots was last year, where we did a month in the around this time. In fact, we were just starting it this time last year in the Mall Shopping Centre. And again, you know, just to that partnership work, because again this year the Mall are giving us the space to support the event. So, you know, it's part of their CSR agenda they want to be engaged in public health as well and health and wellbeing. But that last year we did a month there, and we were referring some people into the NHS health check where they had to make an appointment.
Yes.
And that worked, except we could see that
some people
almost 50% of the people who said yes, I'll come back next week, then something else happens,
doesn't it?
Oh, brilliant.
So that's what you're doing at the moment.
Yes.
And one of the big things that Steve Brown mentioned was looking forward. Mm. And Rory says there's already plans for Wellbeing Symposium 2015.
Indeed, yeah.
Do we have a theme?
We don't have a theme. What we'll do, we have a date,
right,
which is the 11th of November. So it's a Wednesday. We put it back a week this year, but we're going back to the original week, so the 11th of November.
Remembrance Day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ah. There's a theme.
So what we'll do is we kind of take in what's happened today, we'll review, evaluate, and then over the next 2 or 3 weeks we'll start planning the theme for next year, and that work then kind of picks up in January.
But
dust ourselves down and take stock of
have
what's
a little
happened
party
today.
Tonight perhaps on your success from today, and a breather perhaps. Fantastic, thank you so much again. It's
thank
been
you.
A fantastic, we've experienced the difference, the shift in just a year, comparison in a year in the people that are here, the talking, the energy and the excitement behind the themes, and the passion behind let's make this work, let's make it happen.
And I think the public aspect in the afternoon was a brilliant idea. They were coming in, they were enthusiastic, they were interested, and we've benefited from some of the people that came, and they've said that,
and so have they
have,
because
they're
like,
well,
actually I might think about exhibiting or being involved in some of, you know, they actually piled up and there's some networking going on, which was great to see. So
well, thanks for that, and thanks for your support. It's really
more,
really much
well,
appreciated.
Very welcome.
A lifelong partnership now. That's
absolutely stuck with us.
Love it.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed those interviews. They will be uploaded onto our website, whocareswinsradio.co.uk, for your leisure listening at your choice. And if you wish to direct people to all of those interviews, they will be there forever, as long as server space permits. Next week, we are in the studio with one of our dear original co-hosts, was Sue Parker. You may recall our early days of Who Cares Wins. It was Jan and Sue and myself. So Sue Parker, she's joining us next week, or she's joining me next week, as Jan is still away busy working. And Sue and I are going to be talking all wonderful things health and well-being topic wise and of course I'm going to be finding out what Sue has been up to since she left us and is now busy in all avenues with regards to her work and her meditation workshops. So we'll see you all next week. Take care and have a great week, everyone. Bye for now.
Sometimes I don't know why, and time simply goes by so fast, in the twinkling of an eye. Let's enjoy it while we can.
Let's enjoy it while we can.
Help me sell my